Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. Jai Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajurana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajurana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupar Paramahamsa Purviraja Gacharya Shruta Shruta Shishimate Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupar Paramahamsa Purviraja Gacharya Shruta Shruta Shishimate Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaja Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Iskum Bibhiti Founder Acharya His English Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindam Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Gangamai Himunamai Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All Gaurisam devotees, all Gaurisam devotees, all Gaurisam devotees, all Gauris Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 32. Sahaham Samshakalayam Tvadvirena Mahamune Tavakshetre divahutyam Pranashe tatva samhitam Sahaham samshakalayam Tvadvirena mahamune Tavakshetre divahutyam Praneshe Tattva Samhitam. Please chant. Saham with aham I Swamshakalayam, my own plenary portion, Tvatvirenam, by your semen, Mahamune, O great sage, Tava Kshetre, in your wife, Devahutyam, in Devahuti, Praneshe, I shall instruct, Tattva, of the ultimate principles, Samhitam, the doctrine. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O great sage, I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife, Devahuti, along with your nine daughters, and I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories. Purport. Here in the word Swamshakalaya, indicates that the Lord would appear as the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni as Kapiladev. The first propounder of the Sankhya philosophy, which is mentioned here as Tattva Samhitam. The Lord foretold to Kardama Muni that he would appear in his incarnation Kapiladev and would propagate the philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy is very well known in the world as propagated by another Kapiladev. But that Sankhya philosophy is different from the Sankhya which was propounded by the Lord himself. There are two kinds of Sankhya philosophy. One is godless Sankhya philosophy and the other is godly Sankhya philosophy. The Sankhya propagated by Kapiladev, son of Devahuti, is godly philosophy. There are different manifestations of the Lord. He is one, but he has become many. He divides himself in two different expansions, one called Kala and the other Vibhinamsha. Ordinary living entities are called Vibhinamsha expansions, and the unlimited expansions of Vishnu Tattva, such as Vamana, Govinda, Narayan, Pradyumna, Vasudev, and Ananta, are called Swamsha Kala. Swamsha refers to a direct expansion, and Kala denotes to expansion from the expansion of the original Lord. Baladev is an expansion of Krishna, and from Baladev the next expansion is Sankarshan. Thus, Sankarshan is Kala, but Baladev is Swamsha. There is no difference, however, among them. This is very nicely explained in the Brahma Samhita 546. Diparchir evahi dashantaram abhyupetya. With one candle, one may light second candle, with a second, a third, and then a fourth. And in this way, one can light up thousands of candles, and no candle is inferior to another in distributing light. Every candle has the full potential candle power, but there is still the distinction that one candle is the first, another is second, another the third, and another the fourth. Similarly, there is no difference between the immediate expansion of the Lord and his secondary expansion. The Lord's names are considered in exactly the same way. Since the Lord is absolute, his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his qualities all have the same potency. In the absolute world, the name Krishna is the transcendental sound representation of the Lord. There is no potential difference between his quality, name, form, etc. If we chant the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, that has as much potency as the Lord himself. There is no potential difference between the form of the Lord whom we worship and the form of the Lord in the temple. One should not think that one is worshiping a doll or statue of the Lord, even if others consider it to be a statue. Because there is no potential difference, one gets the same result by worshiping the statue of the Lord or the Lord himself. This is the science of Krishna consciousness. Sahaham swamsha kalaya tvadvirena mahamune tava kshatre devahutyam praneshya tatva samhitam. O great sage, I shall manifest my own plenary portion through your wife Devahuti, along with your nine daughters, and I shall instruct her in the system of philosophy that deals with the ultimate principles or categories. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyacha Kripa Sinubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was thinking it is so nice. When it's cold, devotees just dance and we warm up. And no problem. Life is good. So thank you all for coming this morning. I know it's extremely cold for Florida last couple days, but here we are by the grace of the Lord. We continue to hear and chant his glories. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this wonderful program where we can dance and chant for the Lord and in this way be happy. So we are continuing the study of the 21st chapter titled Conversation Between Manu and Kardama. I was actually looking in this chapter, Muni actually doesn't speak at all. Actually, he speaks in the next chapter. But anyhow, it is very interesting with meeting of the great personalities to observe how they interact. As you will see in the coming verses, there is every word is so precise. You know, they don't waste the words unnecessarily. Every word is full of meaning. So it is said, like great people, they say few words but they mean a lot. Where the ordinary people, common people, they speak a lot, but their words have no meaning, no potency. So when we study this, these chapters, there is so many lessons that one can take, so many good instructions, because the activities of Kardama Muni, they're so exalted and exemplary for all of us, regardless, you know, in which ashram we are. And it is actually a beautiful example of the importance of the Varnashrama system, because we can see that Kardama Muni, he goes on and he practices austerities for 10,000 years. You know, one can say, after he was instructed by Brahmaji to propagate the progeny in the universe, you know, he could have married immediately. I'm sure, you know, there was no problem. You know, there was many qualified ladies. But he decided to perform austerities for 10,000 years. Later on, he is exemplary householder. And then later on, he renounces, takes sannyas, basically. So we can all take the instructions and the attitudes of these great personalities and try to follow in their footsteps. Of course, we cannot imitate, especially, you know, austerities of 10,000 years are impossible in this age of Kali. However, we can learn the attitude of these great personalities and try to basically follow that. So regardless, you know, one can say, oh, Prabhu, Satya Yuga is different. You know, we cannot do what Kardama Muni did. Yeah, that is true. But we can follow in his footsteps, in his devotional, you know, attitudes towards the Lord. So one thing that kind of caught my attention, when you actually start reading this chapter, in the beginning, Prabhupada, actually in the first verse of this chapter, Prabhupada is saying, why Vidura is inquiring actually about dynasty of Svayambhuva Manu. It's not like that he just interested, you know, who married who and, you know, who were the children. No, there is actually much deeper reason. And Prabhupada is saying, Vidura was interested in hearing the history of Svayambhuva Manu because in that dynasty, good devotee kings appeared who protected subjects very carefully with spiritual knowledge. By hearing the history of their activities, therefore, one becomes more enlightened. So this point of protection, Prabhupada saying, protected their subjects carefully with spiritual knowledge is very, very essential. And even in the purport that was prior to this verse, it is explained that the first class devotee, he's very much concerned with the well-beings of all other living entities. Essentially, that aspect of compassion and spiritual guidance is so important, because in this world, you know, there is so many problematic situations, and even though, of course, we try to protect everybody we can from the physical harm, but ultimate protection is the spiritual realization, spiritual knowledge that comes through the chain of disciplic succession. So, in the verse that we actually prior to this one, it is said, showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization, giving assurance of safety to all. That is actually Lord Vishnu speaking to Kardama. So, we know that beautiful verse from Gita, Vitaraga baya krodha manmaya mam upashrita bahavo jana tapasa puta mad bhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So great personalities, they essentially dedicate themselves to transmitting this transcendental knowledge for the benefit of all. There's one interesting story I wanted to tell you. One time, basically, king was traveling with his huge army. And as he was passing through forest, he actually saw one sage sitting peacefully and in meditation. So this king approaches him and he asks him, who are you? And the sage looked at him and he said, who are you? So there was like, you know, a moment of silence for a few seconds, because king didn't really expect, you know, counter question. You know, normally everybody would kind of like, you know, greet the king. He is the king. So he answered, well, I'm the king. You know, don't you see? I have the army, you know. Don't you see how I'm dressed? I'm the king. And this sage said, I am also king. So then this king, he actually becomes even more confused, like, you know, is he teasing me or something? And then he said, well, if you are king, where is your army? And the sage said, I don't have any enemies, so I don't need the army. And then the king said, well, okay, but if you're king, where's your wealth? You know, you must have some wealth. And the sage said, my dear child, I'm always fully self-satisfied. That is my wealth. Because no money can purchase that inner satisfaction, that inner peace. So I already possess everything that I need, and therefore I'm wealthy. So the king was even more puzzled, you know, with this conversation. And then he said, okay, well, if you're king, you must have some land at least, you know, some kind of possession. And the sage, he looked at him and he said, that sacred space in the heart where the Lord himself resides, that is my possession. And we can understand from this example that devotee, by his love, he captures the Lord in his heart. So from this little interaction between the sage and the king, we can actually understand that transcendental knowledge is actually the greatest wealth that one can possess. So the first class devotee, Prabhupada actually mentions this in the purport, one of the purports, he said, the first class devotee gives assurance to every living being that there is no fear of this material existence. Let us live in Krishna consciousness and conquer the nations of material existence. So as we can see, Kardama Muni, he meditated 10,000 years, and also it is mentioned that Valmiki Muni, he also practiced austerities for 60,000 years. But Prabhupada is mentioning that regardless of what process one actually adopts, there has to be the tinge of devotion in that approach. Prabhupada is saying one's efforts must be mixed with the process of devotion, because without devotion, nothing can be perfect. Worship through devotional service in trance, essentially, that is how is described the practice that Kardama did. So I just wanted to read these few verses. Essentially, when Kardama Muni has a darshan of the Lord, there is a beautiful description of Lord Vishnu. And it's so nice. So I just wanted to share this with you. It is said, Kardama Muni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is free from material contamination in his eternal form, effulgent like the sun, wearing a garland of white lotuses and water lilies. The Lord was clad in spotless yellow silk, and his lotus face was fringed with the sleek, dark locks of curly hair. Adorned with a crown and earrings, he held his characteristic conch, disc, and mace in three of his hands, and a white lily in the fourth. He glanced about in a happy, smiling mood whose sight captivates the hearts of all devotees. A golden streak on his chest, the famous Kaustubha gem, suspended from his neck. He stood in the air with his lotus feet placed on the shoulders of Garuda. Isn't this a beautiful description? So in this verse today, basically, the Lord is indicating that he is going to appear along with nine daughters of Kardama and Devahuti, and that he is going to instruct his wife in the, it is said here, as Tattva Samhitam, ultimate principles. So I was thinking, it is important to know that the Lord, he always selects his dear confidential devotees to give them knowledge. We see that in the example of Arjuna, then Uddhava, then in this case, Devahuti, and similarly also Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa and Sanatan. So devotee, why is that so? One can ask. And we find in Gita, basically, Krishna is saying that there is that verse where Krishna is saying, Arjuna, because you are not envious of me, I'm going to give you this transcendental knowledge. So that is very important. I was reading recently, the other day, Chaitanya Charanprabhu, he was actually discussing that point. And he was saying, like, why is it like that envious people cannot understand this transcendental knowledge? And he explained, it's not like that the Lord doesn't want them to understand. It is just like sunshine. If person closes their eyes, basically they are preventing themselves from seeing the sunshine, the light of the sun. So envious people, the envy by the nature is such that it essentially blocks the transcendental intelligence in the living being, and it prevents the living entity from fully understanding the message of the scripture. So in the purport today, basically, it is mentioned that there is two types of Sankhya philosophy. One is godless and one is godly. And Prabhupada points out that it is important to understand that the only correct one is the one that was propagated by the son of Devahuti, and where the other, Kapila Dev, is actually imposter, and his godless presentation is essentially faulty. So further on, Prabhupada goes on to explain that there is many expansions of the Lord, and they essentially, basically, there is a primary expansion, there is secondary expansion. And it is pointed here, basically, that, for example, example is given, like Baladev, he is the Kala, and expansion of Baladev is Sankarshan. So therefore, Sankarshan would be considered as the Swamshakala. So expansion of the expansion. However, it's important to understand that they all have the same potency. Prabhupada actually gives this example, just like a candle can light the another candle, and then so on, like you can light, you know, hundreds of them in the room. And they will all have the same potency of light, same like the first one, but still we will call the first candle is the first, second is the second, and so on. One important thing that we find Prabhupada is actually saying in this purport, that it is important to understand that Lord's expansions, like His holy name, His Archavigraha form, they all have the same potency. They all have the same potency. So basically, Prabhupada is ending his purport saying, this is the science of Krishna consciousness. One should not think that one is worshipping doll or statue of the Lord, even if others consider it to be a statue, because there is no potential difference. One gets the same result by worshipping the statue of the Lord as the Lord himself. And this is the science of Krishna consciousness. I was actually looking in the Pancharatika book, and we find basically how it is actually in 11th canto we find where Lord is instructing Uddhava about deity worship. And it is said basically for us it is important to understand that Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavati Vidhi, they actually complement each other. They're like two tracks of the train tracks. They actually go parallel with each other, and they are both necessary. So I wanted to read something really nice that I actually found here. Basically, there is beautiful descriptions of benefits of worshipping the deity form of the Lord. Give me 1 second. Oh, here it is. Touching the deity, one gets a spiritual body. That's the title of this small paragraph. It is said, Archana Padati, daily worship of a deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this, and thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet, and offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. So nice. I also wanted to share one thing I just heard that another day from Sachinandan Maharaj, where he actually points the importance of worshiping the Lord. And actually, the same point is stressed, that there is no difference in the potency, whether we worship the Lord in his holy name or a deity form. So Maharaj was saying recently, it was actually just another day during the appearance of Lord Nityananda. He spoke very nicely. And then at the end he said, I wanted to tell you something personal. and then he said, just another day I met one devotee from Ukraine. And this devotee essentially stopped him and he said, Maharaj, would you like to see a picture that saved a life of Sachinandana Maharaj? And Maharaj was, of course, of course. And then this devotee showed him one painting. So then Maharaj goes on to explain the, you know, the background of that painting, how it actually came. So this particular devotee, he was residing in Sweden for a couple of years as a refugee from Ukraine. And unfortunately, after 2 years, he was told that he has to leave. But before he was about to leave that beautiful community in Sweden, community of devotees, he approached one of the painting artists. I forgot his name. Oh, Janmanalaya. Maybe some of you know him. Janmanalaya Prabhu. So that devotee is well known for painting beautiful paintings of the Lord. So this Ukrainian devotee came to him and he said, "Prabhu, can you sell me one of the paintings of Lord?" And Janmanalaya said, "I don't really have any paintings right now, but even if I do, I really don't sell them. I don't sell any paintings of the Lord. I do other kind of art, like, you know, art of nature, you know, art of birds, for my own, like, you know, living hood. But as far as painting of Krishna, I don't sell that." So this devotee was a little bit sad, you know, he has to leave. And this artist, Janmanalaya, he said, wait, actually, I do have something for you. He said, "Would you like to have a painting that actually saved the life of Satchinandana Maharaj?" And the devotee said, "Of course, of course." So the story goes on, basically, many years ago. I don't know if it took place in 70s or 80s, Maharaj didn't specify. But at one point, Maharaj was traveling in India on a bus tour, and they were doing some preaching with other devotees. And apparently after 1 year of stay in India, because of the visa issues, they had to leave. And Maharaj said, basically, the buses left India, and they traveled for a long time, and eventually they arrived in Kabul, Afghanistan. Imagine that. I don't know what Afghanistan was, you know, looking back then, but I don't think it was much better than nowadays. So they were doing lots of preaching, and he said, like, you know, when they arrived, it happened to be actually Ramadan. And Ramadan is the big, big, you know, holiday for the followers of Muslim faith. And people typically fast all day, and then in the evening they they kind of, you know, take huge meal. But because of the fasting and then having heavy meal in the night, they are very, very agitated. So during all that time, devotees were doing lots of preaching and getting lots of attention. And many local people, they liked them. You know, they were, you know, local children, they were, you know, joining and dancing with them. So everybody was actually curious about them. But somehow the particular group of people didn't really like their presence. Maharaj said, "We actually attracted too much attention," and some of that attention wasn't good. So after a while, he noticed that they're being followed. And you know, when somebody's following you, usually they have bad intention. Usually they either want to murder you or do some kind of harm. And devotees, they notice they're being followed. And just around that time, another group of devotees came from Europe. And among them, there was this Janmanalaya Prabhu. So Satchinandana Maharaj approached him and he said, "Can you please paint the painting of Lord Narasimha? Narasimha Deva Ki Jai." And this devotee said, "Of course." He said, give me a day or two, and I'll have something for you." So that's how that painting came in existence. And Maharaj goes on to explain what happened later on. They were worshipping Nishimadev in his painting form. And one morning, he was, just as he was about to go, you know, take a shower and, you know, answer the call of nature. basically, he was going in a gamsha, and he was in a bathroom, and he was, as he was there, you know, they have those outdoor toilets. You know, it's not like in America. I'm sure in India you've seen outdoor toilets. So as he was sitting there, he noticed there was like, there was some feet outside. He could see underneath the door. And he realized, uh-oh, this is not a good. He realized that his life is in danger. And he was saying like, who wants to die young? And he actually said it was astrologically, one of the astrologers told him that he it was actually in his chart that he would be assassinated at that point. So Maharaj, he said, by the grace of the Lord and by the potency of that worship, Krishna gave him intelligence. And he ran screaming Nishimadev's names, Nishimadev! And he said he was half naked. And these Muslims, they were bewildered, like you know, this crazy man is screaming something and like he's half naked. And it took them maybe 3-4 seconds to, because they were in a shock themselves by seeing him screaming like that and running. So they lost that split moment to capture him because Maharaj was so fast. He ran inside the bus and he shut the door. And he said they had a guard who they hired, and this guard was big, big, tough man. And he literally beat the hell out of them. So, going back to the painting, after so many decades, finally, essentially after traveling, and you know, later on, Maharaj returned the painting to Janamalaya. He said, like, you know, Prabhu, I'm sannyasi, traveling, preaching. I don't have really ability to worship this, so please take the painting back. So it's been like many years since it happened. And now seeing that painting, he said, Maharaj, he said like he had a really hard time holding his tears back. So from this story, we can actually understand the Lord's potency is there regardless, you know, if it's a deity in the temple or a painting painted. We have so many beautiful paintings. Or the holy name, each form of the Lord has the same potency. So I will stop here. And if anybody would like to ask any question or any comment, feel free to say, speak anything. Yes, Prabhu.
I like the way that you said the last thing that you said. You said that the Lord's potency acts in its way in the picture and in the name and in the deity. But you said the Lord's potency, that when the devotee is being sheltered by the Lord's potency, it's not that the devotee is possessing some sort of potency, it's that the Lord's potency is there with the devotee. And it's... Yeah, it's because it's easy for a devotee like myself to think that, oh, now the Lord is helping me in such and such way, but I'm possessing some sort of potency. But I can see that it's nonsense, and the way you said it now just makes it really clear. It's nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that is a very good point. It's not like we are special in any regard. But it is the mercy of the Lord that, due to inconceivable arrangements, He actually makes arrangements where the devotee is protected. So, thank you for sharing that. Anything else?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, your point of envy, you know, was well taken, and you know, it's a very simple process, because if we envy just, you know, somebody or other people, then that means we actually envy Krishna, because Krishna is everybody and all things. So it's as basic as that. So by purifying our consciousness and letting go of envy towards others and things, then actually our envy towards Krishna is automatically resolved also. Thank you.
Yes, yes. That is also very important to understand that, you know, we may say, oh, of course I'm not envy of God. You know, I'm not that stupid. But we have to look in our heart, are we envious of other Vaishnavas? You know, that is something very subtle, but very, very problematic. And when we see it, you know, we have to understand that it is actually good that we can recognize it in our heart, if it's there. Because the biggest danger is if it's there and we don't even recognize it. So just by recognizing that, oh, I have a problem, you know, this Prabhu is, you know, so much more qualified than me, I shouldn't be envious of him, but let me actually learn from his example. Let me actually try to cultivate the qualities that he has or that she has. So thank you. Thank you. So important. Okay. Thank you all very much. And Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.